Thank you, sir. Happy, happy new year. Woo-woo. I can tell who went to bed on time and who did not. Because if you did, you're here today. If not, you're at home watching on your TV or your iPad or computer screen. So happy new year to everybody online as well. God loves you too. We're going to dismiss kids for children's church before we get rolling into the message here. If you have children 3 years of age to fifth grade, there are classes available over in the East Wing. If you could please sign your children into class and remember to get them after service, that's always very helpful as well. And if you have children 0 to 2 years of age and would like to sit in here with them, you're welcome to do that, or the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore. And as always, we love having families right here in service as well. So we believe church is family ministry. That's where it starts. Do you have plans for the new year? Did you make a bunch of resolutions? No. Do you have a bunch of goals for 2023? Let it be better than 2022, hopefully. Right? That's always one of my goals every year. Let's let this year be better than last year. Even if last year was great, let's improve on it. Let's grow and develop on it. And that's something I always like to do. I'm an improver. I like to improve things when I'm around and make things better than when I arrived. And something I'm always about and doing. But I think God wants to improve some things in us as well. Right? He's given us his word, this great manual for our life. How to grow and develop in him. And we're going to look at some of that instruction today. I've titled today's message, Move Forward. Just keep moving forward, day by day by day, each and every day. Move a little further forward. Sometimes we get a big leap and a bound, and sometimes we get a creep and a crawl, right? Sometimes our moves are like, wow, I really matured this year. Some years we're like, wow, I really declined this year, became immature maybe. But as you look at your life, as you start focusing on the year ahead, just I believe one of God's words for us this year is to move forward. Just continually press into him, press into what he has in store for you in the year ahead. There is hope even in the midst of your affliction. Even in the midst of your trial, your pain, your suffering, there is hope. And that's something we as believers in Christ Jesus have to continually move forward in. It's putting my faith in front of my facts. Say, I know this is what the facts say, but this is what my faith is hoping for. Something I cannot see, something I don't even understand. Maybe something that's not even of this natural world, but my faith is in the God of impossibilities. Making all things possible. That's where my faith resides, regardless of the facts I'm looking at. In the book of Lamentations, it's a fun book, probably most of us don't read because it's really depressing. It's a lament, is a sorrowful, mourning, poetic rhyme. But Lamentations is just after Jeremiah. It's not a very big book. But we're going to jump into Lamentations this year. There's one real bright spot in the middle of it all that we're going to unfold. I'm going to read through the whole passage, and then we're going to break it apart in a few moments. But in chapter 3 of Lamentations, picking up at verse 19 through 33. Now remember at this time, when Jeremiah is writing this, there's just been the fall and destruction of Jerusalem. To the point that literally there are dead men, women, and children in the streets. It has been ransacked, it has been destroyed, has been burned, reduced to rubble. The people were taken as prisoners or captives or slaves or whatever, if they weren't killed. So their land has been raped and pillaged and taken over because of their disobedience to the Lord. So they are reaping a harvest of seeds they have sown in disobedience to the Lord. So Jeremiah is writing this lamentation. He's just talking about all of this in the passages before what we're going to read of this happened to us, this happened to us, this happened to us. It was horrible. It was awful. But we brought it on ourselves. And picking up at verse 19, I remember my afflictions and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me, rightfully so. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. There's a lot in this passage. I'm hoping we can get through it today. I have 3 hours, so I think we can. Some of you are very nervous right now. You should be. Before we get into that, what does it look like to move forward every day? Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not fun. I was preparing this message, the Lord reminded me of a story of myself. I was hunting with a friend, and we were hunting bobcats at night, and so we left at like 10 o'clock at night to head into the mountains, and we're tooling through the woods looking for bobcat tracks, and the snow's deep, and there's trees falling down. We're chopping them out with an axe, and we finally get over to the Selway River and start checking some stuff over there, and finally we find this bobcat track, and we get the dogs out and turn them loose and bail into what's known as a hell hole, which is, you know, smart humans don't go there. It's just really nasty, lots of blow down, and not a fun place to be in 2.5 feet of snow. So we spend about 6 hours of the night tromping around, chasing this bobcat around the woods in this really nasty, ugly place on earth. And we're tired and exhausted, and the dogs would catch him, and every time we get close, he'd jump out of the tree and take off again. And this went on and on, and finally we were able to catch the dogs and be like, we're done with this place. We're spent, we're tired, we're exhausted. And then this stinking little bobcat, he goes and walks 50 feet behind the tailgate of the truck, crosses the road. When we get back to the truck, there's his track right by the truck. It's like, oh, even God has a sense of humor with his little critters. So we're tired and spent. We've hunted all night, and we're heading back. It's about 11 o'clock in the morning now, and we're coming back through one of the trees we had chopped out previously in the night. And, of course, deer hear those trees hit the ground, and they think, oh, yummy food. So they rush to them. And there's deer tracks all around, which deer attract mountain lions. And so here's this mountain lion track right amongst all these deer tracks. We're like, oh, you know, we were here 7-8 hours ago, so the track's pretty fresh. Like, it'll be a short race. We can handle a short race. So we turn loose at about 4,000 feet up the mountain. And the dogs take off and go down the mountain and down the mountain and down the mountain and down the mountain. For about 3,000 feet, they drop down the mountain. And now we're like, oh, we thought it would be a little quicker than that. So we hike clear down in there. And I remember we had left the tree and we're hiking back out and we had our dogs. And I remember I half said it jokingly, but was also halfway really serious. I'm like, Donnie, how are we going to get out of here? And he turned in all his wisdom and looked at me and said, one step at a time. Though simple, was very profound. It was the only way out, one step at a time. What he was really saying is don't focus on the whole mountain. Focus on your next step. Do what you need to do right now. Right now, I need to get this foot to about here. And I need to bring this one past it to about here. Now, sometimes we get so overwhelmed with these big, drawn out, what am I going to do in 2023, that we forget the everyday moments that we're supposed to be spending and communing with our Lord and Savior. We forget those moments of, have I been in your word today? We forget those moments of, have I just stopped and thanked you for all the blessings and goodness of my life? Have I stopped and presented to you my prayers, my petitions, my requests? Have I stopped and taken those one-step moments to draw closer to the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth? Because otherwise we'll look at the mountain and go, oh, I failed. It's no hope. There's no use. But God says he'll never leave us. He'll never fail us. His love is unending. His faithfulness is unending. So I need to take charge of my moments. And each and every moment, I need to be moving forward. Moving forward. And my steps, I don't know if you've ever hiked long enough, do you have to start pushing on your legs to take your next step? And by the time we got out of there, that's what we looked like. We were whipped and tired, and man, it was fun. We probably went out and did it again the next day. Sometimes something's wrong with me. But just remember, in the moment, no matter how hard it is, just take that next step. Move forward. Each and every day, take a step forward in your walk with Christ, in your relationship with him, in your knowledge of him, in your prayer life with him, in your everyday interaction and communing with him. I went for a hike yesterday, and like a couple times I looked around like, I hope nobody else is around here because they'll probably think I'm crazy as I'm walking along talking to God. But to any human being, I'm just talking to myself and probably look kind of crazy. I hope you guys take those moments to talk with God wherever you're at, no matter what you're doing. Take those steps forward. We're going to look at a few of those steps as we go through this passage and see what it looks like. So in Lamentations 3, verse 19 and 20, we'll look at those two together. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. It's okay to remember, but don't get lost in your remembering. Don't get paralyzed by remembering the trauma of your past, the hurt and pain of your past, the rejection, the shame, the guilt of your past. Don't get lost and paralyzed in that. You need to continue moving forward. Remember to learn from it, to grow from it. When I was 10 or 12, I was pretty little. A buddy and I went hiking in this canyon by my parents' house. It's a couple miles away, and we hiked down and set up camp in the bottom of the canyon near the creek. And after a little while, my buddy's like, I have to use the restroom. So he wanders off, uses the restroom, comes back. And a while later, somewhere in our camp out, I had to use the restroom, and we had forgot toilet paper. Which, you forage for toilet paper, right? If you don't have it. Or you lose a shirt sleeve or a pocket or half a sock or, you know, I don't know what your go-to is. And tell me after church if you really need to. So I said to my friend, hey, friend, like, what'd you use for toilet paper? And he goes, oh, these big leaves over here. I'm like, which ones? He's like, these. And I was like, those? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I know that's poison oak. So I found different leaves. But he paid for it dearly. Now, some of us would remember that and say, I'm never going in the woods again. I'm never going camping again. I'm never leaving my home again. Because the trauma of that event and moment would paralyze us. And all we could remember is the hurt and pain and discomfort. But remembering is supposed to help us grow and develop and propel us into the future. and not paralyze us in the moment. Because he did continue to camp and hike and go in the woods, and we had lots of fun outings, but he never used poison oak again for toilet paper. But in our spiritual walk, in our lives, it's the same way. We experience some big traumas, some small traumas, and it paralyzes us. Some people aren't sitting here today because they've been hurt by a church. And they say, whoa, I'm out. I'm not going to church anymore. I was there at one point in my life. I didn't want anything to do with God and his people. Because some of them were some of the meanest people I knew. And if that's how God and his people were, I didn't want anything to do with them. So I had to get past that. I could still be living in that. I had to get past that and look beyond and say, okay, who is God really? Who does his word say he is, which we're going to look at in a few verses. And I had to say, okay, is my faith in my experience with people? Or is my faith in who God says he is and my relationship I can have with him? So what stops you in your tracks? What are you constantly remembering that keeps you from propelling forward? Because God wants to deal with that in your life. Because he has plans, he has a hope, he has a future for you. But you've got to not let your remembering paralyze you from your future. It should propel you to it. You should learn and grow from it and develop past it. But it should not paralyze and hold you captive. These guys had trauma. Their city was ransacked. Their men, women, and children were killed, left dead in the street. All their food taken. Those that did survive were captives. They were victims of assault and abuse. They had some serious sufferings. Poison oak toilet paper has nothing on this. And yet Jeremiah says, but look, but God. Look at what God is, what God has done, who God is, who he says he will be. He was, is, and always will be. Let's focus on that. Verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. In the midst of all that mess, he brings to his mind who God is. He could bring to his mind, oh, woe is us, poor us, poor us, oh. He says, no, I'm focusing on the wrong things. He just wrote 2.5 chapters of all the death and destruction that was happening to them, the misery, the torment. And he says, but wait, then I brought to mind. What do you bring to your mind in your moment of trial, your moment of hardship? What do you bring to your mind? Have hope. It gets better. It gets better. No matter what you're going through, it gets better. God is a hope dealer. He deals in hope. Use your faith to pick up your next bucket of hope. Verse 22, this is what Jeremiah brings to mind or calls to mind. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. He says, you know, you look at all this terrible stuff, but we weren't consumed. We did not all perish. There are still some of us living. Some people did die. He says, some of us are still alive. We weren't consumed. We weren't completely and utterly destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth. Sometimes looking for something positive in a situation is difficult. You have to dig deep. That's what Jeremiah is doing here. But look at God and his compassion, for his compassions never fail. His compassion, his love, his mercy toward us never fails. Regardless of what we're experiencing or encountering, his love never fails. It's still for us and with us. Verse 22. I just read that one. I meant verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new every morning. I love this. This is like New Year's Day every morning. We should get up and celebrate every morning. God, I know I screwed up yesterday and I offended you, but God, I know your love's new for me today. God, I have a new fresh start in you today, again, over and over. And this should compel me to take my step forward each and every day, knowing that God is a God of love, a God of grace, a God of compassion, a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness. And he has a hope and a future in store for me, and I need to move forward in it. God's mercies are new every day. I love how God works things out. Kathleen and I, we didn't converse on what she was leading and I was speaking on. And I gave her my verses to go into the computer, and she goes, "Hey, these are the songs I'm singing today." I just love how God works. I think there's some of you, possibly online, but God wants you to hear that today. His mercies are new every morning. They're fresh. They're new every morning. Do you ever get something new and it's like, oh, it's so brand new, it's so lovely and wonderful and beautiful, and then we use it and abuse it and break it and it's not new anymore? God's mercies, God's faithfulness, God's compassion is new every day. It's that brand new, open the package, look at it, it's perfect and whole every morning. You need to look at God's love in a whole new light this year. God, your love for me is new, which I believe means it grows and develops towards us each and every day. God loves you more today than he did yesterday, and he's going to love you more tomorrow than he did today. It's growing, it's new, and developing toward you each and every morning. Do better each day. You have a fresh start. Verse 24, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is my portion. What's a portion? Generally, we think of it as in a meal. It's my portion of sustenance that I need to survive the day. The Lord is your portion. God is all you need. God is enough. But are you consuming your portion of what he has to offer you each and every day? You know, we have a freezer full of meat, and we have a refrigerator full of food, and we have a pantry that has some food. But if I never go and visit them, I never get my portion. If I never light the stove and start cooking and mixing and slicing and dicing, I like to cook. I usually crank the music up loud, and I love to jam out and cook. It's one of my fun things. Why are you laughing at me? People are laughing at me. Anybody named Arby can cook. I'm named after a restaurant. Come on. Anyway, back to where I was. If you don't partake in the portion God offers you each and every day, he offers this communion with him every day. Remember me. Remember what my body means for you. Remember what my blood means for you. Remember the relationship I've offered you. Remember my word. Bind it on your heart that you might not sin against me. He gives us the ability to get on our knees wherever we're at. One of the things I'm most thankful for, we don't have to wait for the church doors to be open or the altars to be open to go meet God. The temple of the Holy Spirit's right here. At least mine. Yours is over there. Emmanuel, God with us. He's in me. He's with me, and I can meet him wherever I'm at, though I don't have to. He offers me a portion daily if I'll receive it. But I have to take action on my part and move forward in my relationship with him. Say, God, here I am. I'm showing up again. God, here I am. I'm showing up again. And sometimes it's awesome and amazing, and the angels of heaven sing, and okay, I haven't quite had that one yet. And other times it's just like you're there, and it's like, God, I don't feel anything. I don't hear anything. And it's just faithfulness and obedience of showing up day after day. And it's not always some big supernatural experience. But he says, I'm your portion. Will you partake of me? Much more than the physical representation of the blood and body of Christ. But are you partaking of what he has to offer you each and every day? The invite is there. The door is open. We have to move forward through it. Verse 25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. What do you put your hope in? If I told you the stock market just crashed right now, where would your hope be? I just lost my retirement, my life savings. Ah! Or would you be like, yeah, no big deal. God's got this. I don't know. Where's your heart? What do you put your hope in? I could go down a whole list of things. We don't have time for that today. I saw this cool t-shirt a day or two ago. It said, 2023, Jesus, hope is on the rise. You know who the highest elected official is? His name is Jesus. And he's still on the throne, and hope is on the rise. Verse 26. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Do you wait on the Lord? Do you just sit in silence with him? Silence is not a big part of our culture anymore. How many of you were uncomfortable during communion in that silence or thought it was awkward? I'm like, should we even get up and take communion? It's kind of quiet. We're supposed to silently wait upon the Lord, which means sit still before him and listen for his salvation to come. I think that's much bigger than our eternal salvation. Sometimes it's our salvation in our moments with our relationships, with our sanity, with our heart, with our emotions. Wait for his salvation to come and fill the moment with his peace and his joy and his patience and his kindness and his goodness. But we have to sit and be silent before him in those moments, saying, God, this is out of my control. For these people, it was out of their control. Their city had been ransacked. They had been taken. And they had to sit and say, God, it's yours. We can't do anything. So we're going to just sit silent and wait on you. They needed some serious salvation. They needed their homes restored, their lives restored. 70 years later, after being in exile, it would happen. That's a long silent period. That's a long waiting before the Lord, keeping your faith in front of your fear, keeping the truth ahead of the facts. The facts told them they were enslaved. They were out of a home. The truth told them they're still children of God. Some steps in moving forward. How do we move forward when we've experienced hardship? When we've experienced grief, when we've experienced trauma, when we've experienced, put your word in there, the hardest day or situation of your life, when you've experienced, how do you move forward? For these guys, it was their disobedience to God that led them down this path. In verse 27, it is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. To bear a yoke means to willingly come under God's discipline and learn what he wants to teach us. The Word of God tells us it's good for us to be under that yoke, to willingly come under the instruction and discipline of the Lord, to learn what he wants to teach us. Sometimes we fight it and kick it and scratch it. I don't want that, God. I don't want that. He never brings us under his yoke to hurt us, to burden us. He does bring us under his yoke to train and develop and grow us, to instruct us, to create in us the heart of Jesus toward humanity, to create in us the heart of Jesus toward God the Father. He does bring us under his yoke for a time of training and discipline, to purge out the things that are not of God and to replace them with his heart. So we need to come under the yoke. Verse 28, let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Silent reflection on what God wants. Do you ever just sit quietly before God and say, God, what do you want? What do you want from me? That takes vulnerability to sit before God and say, God, what do you want with my life? Do you ever take that time of stillness, quietness, just sit and listen? The next step, 29, let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Repentant humility. The burying of their face in the dust was a sign of repentance and humility. You need to repent for your part in it. So, God, I've done. Confess your part, repent, accept his forgiveness, receive it, and move on. Part of that is on us. We need to repent in humility. Say, God, I'm sorry for, be specific. Sometimes it's not doing, sometimes it's the not doing. I knew that you wanted me to do this. I knew this was the right thing to do, and I chose not to do it. I knew you wanted me to make a meal for so-and-so, take it to him, and I didn't do it. You know, God's favor is always toward us. His favor is always for us. But sometimes we choose to walk down disobedience street instead of righteousness street, and we miss his favor. His favor is always there and available. We just don't always walk in alignment with it. His heart, his will, his intention for us doesn't change, but my actions do. I have to get back in alignment with his favor. Verse 30, another step. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. Self-control in the face of adversity. What's your first reaction when you get popped in the cheek? Pop them back. Yeah, John Wayne, the American way. Ooh. Is that your first reaction? Or do you go, oh, you missed one. Come back for another round. Self-control in the face of adversity. A lot of us are pretty decent people unless you oppose us. And then we become your mortal enemy. We're going to rip your faces off. It was simply shown to us through COVID in a lot of areas. Oh, you're going to wear a mask? Wait, I can't even handle that much adversity? And we could go all throughout society and pick on a bunch of places, but that's a really simple one that created huge rifts and divisions, and people haven't spoke since then. There's maskers and unmaskers. There's vaccinators and unvaccinators, and we don't mix. We don't talk. We don't share. That's the world's view. As Christ's ambassadors, we're supposed to show self-control in the face of adversity. Meaning, vengeance is not mine, but it's yours. Meaning, let's focus on the right stuff. Are we helping people remember the love, compassion, and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it's available to them, that they too may have a hope and a future in Him? Because big picture, that's what we're supposed to be doing each and every day, moving forward as the light of the world to show people Jesus and His love for them. Verse 31, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Confident patience. It might look terrible today. It might look unsettled today. But sent confidently and patiently waiting, because we know the Lord is compassionate. We know the Lord is faithful. We know the Lord is loving and kind, and He forgives. So we sit confidently waiting. Why? Because we know the end result. No matter what it looks like today, we know that if we're faithful before God, He controls the end result. He has our best interest in mind. Verse 32, though He brings grief, He will show compassion. So great is His unfailing love. There will be hard moments in our lives. There will be grief. There will be sorrow. There will be rejection. There will be whatever, whatever. But there will also be God's compassion and His unfailing love. And that should override it all. Give us something to look forward to keep our faith alive. In verse 33, for He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. God's will and plan for you is not to bring affliction and grief upon you. But because of our actions, our disobedience, our sinful nature, we bring it on ourselves. God's plan for us is not to punish us, but when we are disobedient, we bring affliction on ourselves. As you move forward, what seeds are you sowing into your life? Because you will eat the crop of the fruit you sow seeds for. If you don't like what you're eating, change the seeds you're planting. Change your language, change your habits, change your thought. Change what you pour into this vessel. What are you pouring in? God has several long-term and short-term lessons for you right now. Are you willing to do the homework? I find if I sit before the Lord and take time to be still with Him, I'll start pointing out areas. Hey, Arby, we're working on this. Hey, Arby, we're working on this. If not, I'll get busy in doing stuff and ignore it and just blow past it. And I'll miss my steps moving me forward because of busyness. It's not always easy to step forward. I can think about 10 years ago, I was on this lion hunt. We had a couple from Latvia. The husband spoke no English, and the wife spoke kind of broken English. She was our translator, kind of. And we finally caught this lion up the Laksa River, and it's only about a half mile off the road, which doesn't sound far, but if you've ever hiked a half mile off the Laksa River, it's a long ways in 8 inches of sloppy snow. And so I'm up at the tree with the hound dogs and the mountain lion in the tree waiting for the other guide to bring the guest in, and finally, after quite a long time, they arrive. And I'm like, where's Gunta? And he's like, we left her. And I'm like, wait, what? And talking with the other guide later, he's like, yeah, we got like 50 feet off the highway, and she kept falling and sliding back down the hill and falling. And finally, Avar's the husband. He's, of course, speaks no English. So the guide didn't know what he was saying, but he would point at his wife. He goes, and he's like, you and me go up the mountain, and we're leaving her. basically is what it translated to, I think. So eventually they showed up, and I'm like, well, let's give Gunta some time to get here, you know, because she's supposed to be coming. And we waited and waited, and the cat started getting agitated and getting nervous. I'm like, okay, we better take the cat because he's not going to stay in the tree long. So we harvest the cat, and we take photos, and we start skinning it and getting the meat and get all that done. Like, man, she still hasn't shown up. Like, we're a ways up here, but we're not, like, crazy long ways. I'm like, she should be here by now. Like, it's been 2.5 hours since you guys got to the tree, and I'm starting to get a little nervous for her. And so we get the cat all packed up and in our packs, and we're heading off the mountain, and still no Gunta. And about halfway down the mountain, maybe not quite that far, I see these tracks going off that way. And I was like, huh. I asked the other guide, I was like, did you guys go over this way? And he's like, no. And I'm like, I'm gonna follow these tracks for a little bit. And I followed them for about 3 and just really go out of sight. And then you could see cartwheel actions in the snow. And she had lost her balance and staggered off of the, I don't know if you get our tracks, I can't really call it a trail, and had tumbled clear into the creek. So for the last almost 2 hours, she's been trying to climb up out of the creek, and it was like, it wasn't a real big creek, so she wasn't like super soaking wet. She was pretty wet, although. She would climb up and slide down. She would climb up and slide down. She would climb up and slide down, but she never quit trying to climb the hill. And sometimes it looks like that for us in climbing forward. It's hard and it's painful. And it feels like everything I do to take that step forward, I just slide back down. And so far, I'm 100% on my Bible reading this year. But it's still the first. But right now I feel successful. How am I going to feel on the 10th? I do have an accountability partner reading with me. So she's going to keep tabs on me and make sure I'm reading. Keeping up with my daily reading program. Sometimes it's hard to get that next step forward. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes there's language barriers. Sometimes it's difficult. You know, homework's not fun. I never liked homework. I was pretty anti-homework, but each and every day, God wants to grow and develop us into the man and woman he's created us to be. But we have to engage in the process. We have to take that step forward. You know what, God, instead of watching my favorite football team play today, I know there's some big games on today, I think. I'm going to spend that time in your word and in prayer with you. But what matters to you? What will you set on your shelf and replace it with something to take that next step forward in your walk with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You know, I love waking up in the morning and scrolling through Facebook. I don't really, but maybe for some of you that fits. I'm going to not do that for 20 minutes. When I get up, that 20 minutes is just going to be my Bible and prayer time. I'm going to connect and commune with you. Maybe for me, it's I love getting up and brewing a pot of coffee and sitting down and enjoying that. And so for me, today starts our 21-day fast for the new year. We haven't really promoted it strongly this year, but generally here at the Life Center, we start the first 21 days of the year with a fast. So part of my fast is I can't have my first cup of coffee till 7 a.m., which is a long time after I get up and like my first cup of coffee. And I've got several other things that I'm fasting as well, but what are you willing to give up and say, God, I want to take that next step forward? Because he's inviting us to experience his love, his mercies that are new for us each and every day. Or maybe it's that piece of, man, I just keep remembering the heartache, the pain, the suffering, the abuse, the neglect, the trauma of my past. And until now, I haven't been able to get over it. But today, I'm willing to give it over to God. I say, God, I want to be used of you. I want to take that next step forward in who you've called me to be. What do you need to do to take that next step forward in your relationship with your Lord and Savior? Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you invite us into relationship with you. God, that you give us, God, your word as an instruction manual for our lives. God, that you give us the Holy Spirit, God, as comforter and counselor. God, for those hard decisions, those hard days in our lives, God, that we need your supreme wisdom to get through. And God, we thank you for your Son, God, that came to earth and died on the cross. God, that gave his life as a ransom. God, that we may inherit salvation. God, we thank you. God, I ask that you would just use each and every one of us, God, to bring remembrance of who you are to those around us. God, that they would learn of your love, your compassion, God, your forgiveness and grace toward them. God, through our words, through our actions. Father, we thank you, we praise you. God, teach us each day to take that next step in you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite our ushers forward. Inside your folder, you have a Connect card. There's lots of fun pieces in there. You have an offering envelope. You have a TLC Bible reading plan for the year. If you want to join in with that, the daily Bible reading that we do as a body. There's also a Connect card. Just tell us who you are, why you're here. Even if you attend all the time, go ahead and fill that out. On the back side, there's prayer requests, and make sure you mark whether you want your prayer requests to go just to the staff at the TLC or if you want it broadband across the email prayer chain. So if you want to fill those out, drop them in the offering basket as it comes by today. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, God, for the ability, God, to earn and acquire an income, God. And we ask that you would just bless that which is given, God, that it would be multiplied, God, to the use of your kingdom, God, throughout the world. God, we just thank you, God, for the hearts of the cheerful giver. God, that you would bless them and their households, their businesses, God, their places of employment, God, according to the promises of your word. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and drop your Connect cards in the offering basket, please, as it comes by. A few other announcements. We have had some people using the building lately. They're propping doors open with rocks. So if you are the rock offender, please do not do that. There are Allen wrench keys to stick in there and lock the panel open. Or have a host at the door ready to greet your guest and let them in as they arrive, please. And maybe it's not one of our groups. We have community groups that use our building as well, but... Also coming up, February 5th is going to be our annual meeting. If you're wanting to be a member of the Life Center, to be part of that voting constituency, make sure you stop by the Info Center, get a membership form. I know a few of you have taken those home. If you want to fill them out and bring them back, that would be awesome. And that meeting's open for anyone to attend, but just to be part of the voting body, you have to be a member. And also, yeah, our 21-day fast starting today. If you want to jump in on that, fast with us as a church body. What matters to you matters to God. What will you fast and give up for him? It can be food. It can be finances. It could be your morning coffee. It could be your favorite TV program. It could be not watching any of the Packers games. I don't know if we have any Packers fans. I can do that. Now, what matters to you matters to God. And it's simply taking time out of your day, out of your schedule, out of your life, your normal routine, and saying, God, I'm going to give this time to you for these 21 days. And maybe he would say, hey, why don't you give it up all year? Or for the next 5 years or next year. Next Sunday, there will be a staff meeting, so for all my leaders, make sure you invite your teams to the staff meeting next Sunday. It'll be at noon if the pastor's not long-winded. We'll talk to him about that. So I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward. We love to pray for people. We believe in the power of prayer. It is effective. And we'd love to give you the opportunity to be prayed over through the laying on of hands as the word directs us to do. So if you have prayer for anything, any matter at all, no matter is too great, too small. I got in trouble a few weeks ago because I didn't pray with someone, but they were invited to prayer with the prayer team, but they only wanted the pastor to pray for them. And I had a meeting right after church. So don't wait for me. Come get prayer. These guys are prayer warriors. And they know God just like I do, just like you should. Hopefully you do. But we like to agree with one another in prayer. So come forward, get prayer. Seek God's counsel and wisdom. Otherwise, God bless you guys. I'm going to say a prayer. You're welcome to come get prayer and enjoy your week. Enjoy the new year. Remember to move forward each and every day. Father, we thank you, God, for your hand upon us, God, that looks out, God, and goes before us, that makes a way. And God, I just ask that you would open our hearts, God, our minds, our eyes, God, to see, God, everywhere in our lives, God, that we have ignored in the past, God, that your hand is at work on our behalf. God, even in the smallest, simplest things of each and every day, God, as we draw in our next breath, God, that it would cause us to think of you, the giver of life. God, that would cause us to think of you that knelt down and breathed the breath of life into Adam.